Warning. The following broadcast you're about to listen to is filled to the brim with explicit adult language and content. Don't like it? Don't listen to it. Don't complain about it. Just ignore it. If you like it or don't mind it, then listen up and enjoy the show. Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Monday, April 5th, 2021. This is episode 83. And as you know, discussed before, I keep bouncing around as far as when I'm going to record and all this other shit. I decided I'm going to shoot for Mondays. That is going to be my goal henceforth. I am planning to try to get back onto a weekly schedule every Monday. Now, granted, the idea is to record Monday and have posted by Monday, but that could possibly fluctuate. But I decided I need to set myself a goal. Because if I give myself too much flexibility as far as, well, there's work, this, and busy stuff, that, and so on and so forth, then it just ends up getting, you know, railroaded by this, that, and the other thing. And, I'm tired of doing that shit. So I want to put out content regularly, and this is the best way to do it, is to just pick a thing and run with it. Granted, this week, of course, is the one Monday that was a little more difficult and tricky, but compared to the rest of the week, it's no better or worse, really. So, if anything, actually, it is, thinking about it, now that I think about it, yeah, it actually is better in many ways. The next really good available opportunity wouldn't be until this coming Friday. So, but anyway, let's get into things, shall we? As far as what's going on in my neck of the woods, I've decided to set a goal on what I'm going to record. Admittedly, that was one thing I did want to mention in this section. Long story short, because I already did the long story part, every Monday you should be seeing a new episode coming out. That is the goal, and that is that. I am setting it Mondays, new episodes. If for some reason it has to change in a either temporary fashion due to some other event, or a permanent fashion just because of overall life changes, I will, you know, make that decision then and there. But my goal will to no longer let small things get in the way of doing a recording until later on in the week or something like that. Because otherwise it ends up later in the week becomes the next week, becomes a month from now, etc. And it's not out of pure laziness, it's not out of a desire not to do this. Far from it. It's anxiety, ADHD, and also just I let time get away from me too easily. So, beyond that, as far as what's going on in my neck of the woods, still not a whole ton of hobbying this past week. Kind of stalled out a little bit with the whole building and hobbying aspect. I don't plan to keep it that way for very long, though. It's just, admittedly, been spending a lot of time playing Blackstone Fortress, so I just haven't been focusing as much on hobbying because I've actually been gaming. And I'm not complaining in any capacity. If anything, actually, I've been going out of my way on the subject of gaming. One thing that commonly sidetracks me from getting hobbying done, from rolling some dice, from doing this podcast, etc., is the overt ease of access of my computer is on, I open up Steam and start playing a game, and then I end up distracting myself for several weeks playing the same fucking game or something like that. I've been going out of my way to, I've played a little bit here and there, but I've been going out of my way to go, nope, put it down, close the game, do something else. It's way too easy to let the electronic babysitter just run amok and take over and make you just do all sorts of crap that you didn't intend to do. That's not to say I think video games are bad. That's not to say that I'm not going to play video games anymore, so on and so forth. But I do need to discipline myself to put them down more frequently. It's way too easy to just let them just take over your whole fucking day and get nothing else done. So, but yeah, Kristen and I have been playing a lot of Blackstone Fortress almost daily. We've only had a couple days in the past week or so that we just have not quite gotten around to it. We are about to embark on our first stronghold mission. We just finished the access route expedition to get us to the stronghold. We've so far lost no characters. Had a close call over the weekend, actually. I decided to, my oldest was really like, I want to play. And it's like, okay, well, we got this whole stronghold thing going. I know you can have players jump in and stuff, but I was like, let us at least get through this whole expedition and stuff, and then we'll maybe see about having you jump in later. We unfortunately did not finish the expedition this weekend in time for him to jump into it. We did let him, like, roll the Destiny dice and roll the Blackstone die for different things and stuff. One of the explorations, right, like, seriously, very end, about to get everybody onto the maglev transport, he rolls the absolute shittiest potential roll that we could have gotten at the time for for the reinforcement roll on one of the hostile groups. A shit ton of traitor guardsmen popped up right on top of my favorite character, Pius Vorn. And she went from fully ready to rock and roll to one more hit and she's out of action. Like instantaneously, it really sucked. So there's a close call. She's all well and good now. Assuming that we've been reading all the rules right and stuff, she is healed up now. That was quite the nail butter. That was quite the nail biter situation there. Going from, man, we've had perfect run after perfect run to, oh, fuck. But made it out. And we, like I said, we just finished the access route. We're going to get into the death maze on our next outing, which will probably be tonight after I get out of work. So, but we'll see. Beyond that, I've actually been doing a lot of research on different factions, rules, etc., working on new ideas for new content for the podcast. So, other than that, just like everybody else, or most everybody else, or maybe not everybody else, I don't know. I think everybody should be excited about it, but just like a whole lot of other people, I'm just waiting to get my hands on Cursed City at this point. So, but other than that, that's about all that I got going on in my neck of the woods. Let's go over some newsy bits. For starters, Cursed City is up for pre-order. You can pre-order it now let me see if Games Workshop's website even still has it in stock, now that I think about it. It's no longer available online. So you'd have to check with other retailers or whatever else to see if you can get a copy. Warhammer Quest, Cursed City, the full retail price is $199. Poke around, see if you can find a discount. At this point, just based on what I've been hearing, you're probably going to be running into the whole scalper effect situation. So, although I do want to talk a little bit about scalping stuff and when raising prices is acceptable versus when it's not. I did want to touch on that a little bit after my last week's rant. I did feel like not that I had anybody call me out in any capacity, but I called myself out, actually, going, I kind of left out some important little details of what does, in my mind, separate and define what's morally wrong, like business ethics-wise and stuff. So, but as of right now, looks like I said, Cursed City is not currently in stock for pre-order. I'm not surprised, given how incredibly badass Blackstone Fortress is. And, you know, the fact that, like, even I myself have been kicking myself for waiting so long to get into Blackstone Fortress, because now trying to get expansions and stuff is next to fucking impossible. So trying to get in on stuff sooner rather than later, probably not a bad idea. Even the books are sold out. Interesting. There's a Curse City hardback book and the special edition book. And I did not rule books, mind you. These are just story books from Black Library. They're sold out. The only pre-order that I'm not sold out of right now is the paperback version of Lady of Sorrows, which if you have not listened to that audiobook or read the book or whatever else, it's a pretty good one. I do recommend it. So, but yeah, so long story short, Curse City, out for pre-order, but you can't fucking find it apparently. So that sucks. Yeah, that's as far as their pre-order stuff goes for this week. That's all they really got going on. We did just have a massive announcement a few days ago about GW putting out Primaris Lieutenant the movie. For those who are unfamiliar, it was their April Fool's Day joke, admittedly. For those who haven't gotten a chance to watch it, the trailer's kind of funny, I suppose. But yeah, it's totally April Fool's joke. So if there's anybody listening to this who saw the announcement, were like, oh, hell yeah. You know, it's fucking Warhammer movie finally. It's fake. Sorry. It's a total fake. And then I hit a button to accidentally start playing this damn thing. But it would appear that my recording software keeps recording even when something else is playing. It doesn't look like it picked up any of it either. Okay. Well, I learned something about my software today. That's cool. Yeah, so there was that. For those who are playing Warcry, which admittedly, you know, like, I was really into Warcry when it first came out. I actually should probably try digging back into it again. It's a lot of fun still, but just I got so many other projects and things on my plate, and I feel like Warcry is really good and fun, but it is probably one of the weaker things that I own the rules for and stuff. It's not that it's bad. It's that I'd rather be playing other games. But anywho, if you happen to somehow get your hands on the stuff for Cursed City, there is going to be a campaign that you can play. I think it requires some of the models and stuff. Maybe not. I don't know. There's a 4-player Warcry campaign about the Cursed City. So, it even says here, the miniatures will serve you excellently, but they're not necessary. Any player with a collection of skeleton warriors or deadwalker zombies will have ample models to use as the horrors the adventuring warbands will face. So, if you have the miniatures, congratulations! That's gonna make it cooler and easier, blah, blah, blah. If you don't, it's not the end of the world. But you can go download that campaign right now for free from the Warhammer community site. Lastly, as far as the newsy bits go, this actually just came up not that long ago, just before I was going to record. A little bit more information about the Beast Snaggas from the Warhammer preview a few weeks back. The feral orcs that are riding on these, what are they called? Squig hogs, I think. There's not much here to go off of. There's just a little bit more than what we'd been told before. And, admittedly, I swear, maybe I've got this wrong, but I swear, at the preview, they only showed one model. But this one does show two separate models. They're very similar. Both have an orc riding one of these squig hogs with a Gretchen hanging off the back of it. They're in slightly different poses with slightly different equipment and stuff. But this does describe, you can actually see it a lot better on one of these models. It's not that these feral orcs or these beast snagged dudes are completely against all tech. They're not, you know, they're not opposed to that entirely. The other model here even shows like the squig hog has has a mechanical leg, it looks like. His rider has a bionic eye, And then his spear that he has appears to have like a firing button, and it appears to be like a rocket propelled spear. So yeah, so that's kind of cool, both from, you know, potential rules perspective as well as aesthetically. It's just kind of an interesting combination that you know, that old school feral design mixed with the sci-fi tech of 40K. So, but there's really not that much to go off of here. The one thing I will say is that you know, it's possible that this could be alluding to what we might see next here. Typically speaking, GW starts kind of focusing down on a specific faction or whatever else in anticipation for an upcoming release. But, you know, time will tell as far as that goes. But, I mean, we saw that with Cursed City. The more articles they started putting out about Cursed City, suddenly you knew it's got to be coming up here pretty shortly, especially once they started doing the painting videos. It was like, yep, Cursed City's got to be just a few weeks away. And sure enough, it was. So, but yeah, that's about it for the newsy bits for now. You know, shorter as far as that stuff goes. But admittedly, I just recorded just this past Thursday, so it hasn't even been a full week yet since my last recording. So this episode overall is going to probably be shorter by default, just because there's not as much to talk about. But I still wanted to try and put out the episode today to try and put me on this new schedule and stuff for forthcoming Mondays. My goodness, I could not spit that out for shit. You know, it's just better to say, yeah, I'm going to short this week. And that way I can get onto a regularly scheduled program. So, going to take a little break. When I come back from the break, we'll touch on a little bit about the whole pricing thing and stuff, you know, the correction from last week, correction-ish. But also the main meat and potatoes I want to talk about today, is, getting into 40K, with 9th edition. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Regimental Vox. As I was discussing before the break, the meat and potatoes discussion for today is going to be about getting started into 40K, what with 9th edition being a thing and all. Now, granted, admittedly, I don't remember if I've ever covered the topic about getting into the hobby. I feel like I have, but I also feel like, you know, there's nothing wrong with a refresher course, and with 9th edition being out, there are some things that kind of affect that, so I figured, fuck it, we'd go over it anyways. I had a guy I went to school with actually reach out to me just quite a few weeks back now, admittedly, but it got me thinking about this topic. But yeah, he just randomly reached out to me just asking, how do I get started? So we're going to go over that. But first, I did want to make a little clarification thing as far as pricing and stuff goes with the scalping thing. It was actually spurred on. I saw a post on a buy-sell swap group that I'm a part of on Facebook. Oddly enough, by the Mark, the guy who runs Forge of Fire, who I talked about at the end of last week's episode, he posted up that he had a bunch of copies of Piety and Pain, and he was selling them, I think, for $215, and a bunch of people were getting really fucking salty about it. Now, on the one hand, as I mentioned about scalpers, I think scalpers are scum. I think they are crap, and I really do not like them. However, it's an important definition. I define that a scalper is not just somebody who's setting the price exorbitantly high. It's somebody who specifically bought the hard-to-find shit, and they bought it before anybody else could get their hands on it, so that they could turn around and sell it at an exorbitant price. Okay, now in the case of Mark here, he had his initial allotment that he sold at discounted prices even. And then he had to go out of his way to buy more product at higher costs for himself. And that he turned around and he sold them still at actually, I think he sold them still for less than $200. think he sold them for around, actually, the MSRP, but he sold through all of that product then, too. So then he had to go out of his way to buy yet more product at an even higher price to himself, and he's turning around and selling that at $215 right now. Now, A, $215 is actually really still cheap for this box set, admittedly. This set has been selling for, I think I saw somebody say that they'd seen it as high as like $385 or $400 or something like that. I think I'd seen one even for $400. I don't see the point, actually, of anyone wanting to buy that outside of the fact that it does come with characters you can't buy separately right now. But I think the overall cost of all of the models in there is only around like $350, $360. Eh, no, maybe that's around $380-ish. I don't remember. The point is that even that itself is that, you know, that amount of money. So why would you, there's no advantage to paying that much for the box set. You might as well part stuff out as you need it then at that point. Just buy the things as you need them as you build stuff just to spread the cost out a little bit. But yeah, there is a major difference in my mind between somebody who is buying product themselves, even to get their supply, they are buying it at higher prices. Namely, and I mean, once again, he's turning around, and yes, is he selling it for higher than the MSRP? Yes, he is. But is he selling it, like, did he buy it from GW at the, you know, cheapest bottom of the barrel cost, and he's turning around and selling it for exorbitant prices? No. You know, he's having to source stuff at more expensive costs to himself. And rather than, and once again, he could try to be like the scalpers and take advantage of the market and try to sell it for $300, $400 fucking dollars. But he's not. He's barely selling it. He's probably, I don't know how much he paid to get all the stuff, but he's probably selling it for not that much more than what he paid to get the goddamn things. So, point is that there is a difference. Hey, once again, not sponsored by him in any capacity. I do want to strongly emphasize that. This is just, personally, I think that he's a very honest salesman, and I'm watching people kind of give him a bunch of grief when there's plenty of shitty-ass scalpers out there who are doing all this bullshit that they're not shitting on anywhere near as much, is really frustrating. I would say that, you know, I see this guy, I want him, if anything, I want him to keep doing business. You know, I want him to keep up his current business practices, because admittedly, his business practices for the most part are not only super honest, but he does discount stuff quite greatly, even when it is hard to get a hold of. It's just, you know, as time goes on and it costs him more to get the stuff, of course he's going to raise the prices to sell the stuff. You know, he's still not a charity, but he's a hell of a lot more generous than a lot of other people who are trying to make a dollar out there. So, point being is that, A, I still highly recommend you check out Forge and Fire if you haven't already. You know, like I said, honest guy, good prices. If you pre-order stuff or strike while the iron's hot anyways, you get stuff really discounted really well. If stuff becomes harder to source, you're trying to get it later, etc., you'll still get a far more honest price out of him, in my experience, than you would trying to just find someone on eBay or some other shit to get it. So, I just can't stress enough that this guy, good to work with. So, but anyway, I just wanted to clarify that, just because after I read that this morning, I was like, huh, you know, I've been sitting here giving a lot of grief over people for selling it at higher prices, but that's because of the fact that they bought things cheaply before it was out with the specific intent of driving up the market so that they could take advantage of it. Not somebody who's still trying to do standard business and trying to get customers' product, but their own costs have gone up, and so they've driven up their sales prices a little bit. It's the cost of business. That's fine. So, but, anywho, let's get into the main topic here, though. Getting started into 40K. Now, when this guy first messaged me a few weeks ago asking me, how do I get started? For starters, he didn't specify 40K or not. He just said, how do I get started in Warhammer? So started off with the whole, okay, well, what direction are we going? 40K, AOS. And I asked him a whole series of questions and whatnot. To try and give him the best advice I could possibly provide him. You know, I touched on a few separate points and stuff, so I kind of wanted to go over that stuff today. Once again, I may have done an episode like this before. I'll probably do one every once in a while just as a refresher course, and also because I'll fucking forget what I even talked about. You know, I do a lot of episodes and stuff, and keeping track of all of it can get a little like, what? But yeah, as far as how do you get started? Now, we're going to talk about 40K specifically today. But keep in mind that a lot of the, you know, more general concepts could be applied to AOS. They could be applied to a lot of different game systems beyond that too. You know, but we're talking specifically Warhammer products. We're talking specifically 40K. But you can extrapolate some extra, you know, some information that might be applicable to your situation otherwise. So for starters, how do you get started into Warhammer? Wow. Loaded question. Big potentials for like all sorts of fucking answers to choose from. And I'm not saying it's a bad question. I'm saying it requires definitely more thinking. You got to dive a little bit deeper on what your desires, what your wants and wishes are. Out of your hobby. So, you know, as far as how do you get started? Okay, well, for starters, ask yourself, you know, in my mind, the first question to ask yourself, am I starting this alone? As in, do I have any friends close friends or close family or at least a close gaming community I know of that is already playing this game? And also, if not, if nobody's already playing it, do you have close friends, close family, or close gaming community, whatever? Admittedly, you probably wouldn't know much of a close gaming community if they weren't already playing a game that you're interested in. But, maybe not. I know there's plenty of people who post in the Grand Rapids Wargaming group about other game systems and stuff. So, yeah. I correct myself already. You know, they might totally be not playing a game that you're interested in getting into. But Warhammer is one that's most likely already going to be part of a local community somewhere, but you may not know where that community is. So, if you don't have already an established base of friends, family, or local community that plays this specific game, then you got to go, all right, am I going into this by myself, or am I going to have close friend or close family or community to get involved in the hobby with me at the same time? That can affect, at least financially, where you start. If you are going at this completely by yourself on your lonesome, you are going to probably pick a different set of models or whatever else right up front to help you start your investment off. Now, I will say that going at it by yourself with an intention that you are going to be in charge of growing a local community or getting your friends and family involved, you've set yourself for a tough challenge. You know, you're going to be spending some money, quite a bit of money, investing in something that may not pan out to anything. And that's going to be extra work on you. And I'm not saying it necessarily in a negative fashion. I'm saying it in a be well aware fashion. You're going to be the ambassador. Now, I already consider myself an ambassador of the hobby, and I know several other people in my local community that consider themselves ambassadors of the hobby, or that are, even if they don't think of themselves that way, plenty of other people in the community do think of them that way. The point being is that you're gonna have an uphill battle being the one and only ambassador for the hobby in your local circle. You know, it's up to you how big or small that circle is. I would recommend that if you do not have an established gaming group, or at least a gaming group you know of that you can, you know, establish yourself into, infiltrate that group, you know, become a member of that group would be the more accepted term by society, not infiltrating. But, you know, unless you have something that you could jump into afterwards, you may want to kind of shop around the idea to some friends and family first. I say this namely because the hobby is a major time and financial investment. You know, if you are just going to be a collector, collect models and paint them, and that's all you want to do, that changes everything too. And we're going to go over that a little bit as well. But yeah, so, you know, in this case, when I had asked him this question, he said that he had some work friends that are also interested in getting into the hobby. All right. So the next step then, is rules. I highly recommend that you go scope out the core rules, which are completely free. You could download them from the Warhammer community site. I think if you download the app, the core rules are just free on the app. You don't have to subscribe to it or anything to get access to the core rules. Now, mind you, that also depends on your learning style, but I would highly recommend it either way. Some people learn by doing, some people learn by watching, some people learn by reading. I would still highly recommend you give the core rules a perusal. Once again, on the assumption you don't have a local group that you can just jump into and say, hey, how do I do this? It's YouTube. Watch some YouTube videos. Just search, you know, how to start Warhammer or how to play Warhammer or something like that. 40K in this case, and 9th edition specifically. And you'll find tons of videos out there, some of them official Games Workshop videos, some of them just made by fans of the hobby, and those will have, you know, the specifics on how to actually play a game on there, and that way you can get kind of a feel before you invest a bunch of, you know, time and money once again into it. How am I going to play this game? Keep in mind, if you're like most people, you're not just going to read the core rules, have a full in-depth understanding of how the game works and what kind of enjoyment you're going to get out of it. It's at least a start. Now, if you have a local community, and this is a really, really easy thing to typically do, unless your community is full of a lot of elitist, dumbass gatekeepers, hit up whatever Facebook group, because I can almost guarantee you your community has a Facebook group. Hit them up, say, hey, I'm thinking about getting into this hobby. I don't know shit about it. Is there anybody who would be willing to give me like a demo or something like that? You are more than likely you're going to find those ambassadors of the hobby. They're going to come out and they're going to say, hey, I got a couple armies, or I could borrow an army, or we could split my army, or whatever else. We can sit down at a table. I'll run you through it, you know, show you how to play this game. You don't have to bring your own models then or anything. You could just borrow some of mine while we're doing it, you know. I've seen that happen a lot, actually, especially since becoming a member of the Warhammer local Warhammer community. Interesting. I just got some new notification about a Witch Hunters reveal, so I'll have to check that out here shortly. Sorry, I just got that notification. Moving on. But yeah, that's a quick and much cheaper, easier way to get into the hobby, is find a local community. But once again, I'm kind of trying to cover a few bases here as far as what do you do if you're by yourself, what do you do if you're starting with a whole group of people, and what do you do if you have an established group. If you can find your local gaming community, which I strongly recommend being a very important first, move, ask around, find someone who can demo the game for you, and that way you can actually try it out yourself. Now, mind you, there are a shit ton of factions to choose from, tons of models. It can be very overwhelming. And then especially if you're playing a demo game too, Depending on what that player brings to the table, you may not necessarily play the army that caught your eye to begin with, or maybe you don't even know what army you want to play at all, period. You know, what the hell do you do at that point? For starters, whatever army you play the demo game with, just roll with it. Just enjoy it. It's what you have to hand. It's what you've been given to kind of run through this game. Now, if you're somebody who's thinking about running somebody through Warhammer for the first time and they're interested in trying it and stuff, unless they're very adamant about wanting to play a specific army at all costs, I would personally recommend that you just bring, because most of us have at least some, bring some fucking Space Marines. If you are demoing the game for somebody, bring your Space Marines. If you are somebody who's getting a demo for a game, see if they've got Space Marines. It's not because I'm recommending them as the bestest faction there ever was, but relative to many of the other factions, they are easy to understand, they are easy to get into and pick up, and therefore a good choice for a demo game. Now, like, when I was demoing 40K to my wife, we used her orcs. And that did affect her overall concept and enjoyment of the game and stuff. But once she got a little bit of a better feel for it, once she started seeing a little more victories, then it, you know, started feeling pretty damn good to her. But at first, she was a little frustrated with the orcs. And that's an important thing. Like, in her case, she's very familiar with Warhammer as a whole, so kind of understands all the basic concept of the mechanics works. She's also very familiar with the fact that I own a shit ton of different models and stuff. So, you know, if she became too frustrated with something to learn, there'd be something else she could at least learn with. You know, so on and so forth. But yeah, if you're just somebody who's going to be showing some random schmuck how to play the game, or you as the random schmuck are looking for a different random schmuck to demo the game for you, hopefully some Space Marines of some variety, well, preferably as vanilla as possible, because that's important. You want this demo to be vanilla. You want it to be introductory. You want it to be easy enough for the person who's not part of the hobby to pick up and run with it. Okay. So that's advice for both sides of the table there. Now let's say you've demoed the game, or you've read through the rules, or whatever your preferred method of learning is, and you've decided you're ready to take the plunge. You want to go ahead, you want to get yourself some Warhammer models of your own, so that you can play the game, and start building your army. How the fuck do you pick an army? That is probably one of the biggest questions that I hear from anybody who ever asks me anything about the hobby is, how do I figure out what army I want to play? You know, or, hey, I'm thinking about playing this army. Is this army any good? Or, I don't know at all what I'm doing. I just know I want to play this game, but I need models. So, how the fuck do I figure out how to get them? So, kind of to some degree, depending on what the actual degree of I don't know what I'm doing is, that can affect things a little bit. But there's a few basic rules you can follow and stuff to try and figure out where you want to land. Now, for starters, I would say that you have kind of like three basic archetypes of new hobbyist. There's crossover between them, and they're not just for new hobbyists. It can change and evolve over time, or you'll stay with your archetype throughout your whole hobbying experience, etc. But there's three basic archetypes that I've found, and they can kind of mix and match and evolve. For starters, you would have like the purist, somebody who wants to play a specific faction, because they love the aesthetics, they love the lore, so on and so forth. A purist is generally going to have, you know, one army or one faction. In the case of like Imperium, they might have stuff from this, that, or the other thing. But purists, I've found, do tend to just one and done their army. There's nothing wrong with that in any capacity. None of these are wrong answers, even. They're just different answers. But yeah, so purists, they do tend to be more casual gamers. You know, they don't tend to be quite as super competitive and stuff. You know, they're definitely not win at all costs and stuff. For the most part, once again, these are generalities that have plenty of opportunity for crossover. And then you have the meta chasers, the polar opposite, basically. These guys are the super competitive types, people who will buy an army, play an army, sell an army, and buy another army, play that army, sell that army, and just keep rotating through as new rules come out. And now this other army is, you know, top of the heap, or, you know, an older book is actually now better because they're one weak foe, or the one foe that they're weak against is now weak against them because of the new rules they got, or whatever. Now, I do think this is the least financially savvy way to play the game, but there's still nothing wrong with it. If that's, you know, how you're going to get your enjoyment out of the hobby, by all means, go for it. And then you have the collectors. Now, collectors are like me. They're kind of more your in-between gray space there, but they're primarily focused on, I just want to get as many badass models as possible, you know? And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're like, you know, they're aspiring painters who have zero interest in playing the game and just want to have really cool models for a shelf, and that's it. No, I'm definitely more about the game, but I do want badass models, and I do want to do cool paint jobs and stuff on them. So, but my main goal is to be able to enjoy playing the game. Now, my thing about collecting is because of the fact that I do consider myself an ambassador. I would like to get a little bit of every army, specifically so I can do, mind you, not in the midst of a pandemic, but post-pandemic, that way I can do demo games for people who want to try this, that, or the other faction, you know. Maybe introduce somebody to the hobby using Space Marines, but then, okay, well, what do you actually want to play? That's, once again, big question. What the fuck do I actually want to play? There are a few key ways that I highly recommend figuring out the perfect and right army for you. The number one golden rule, if you have any familiarity with Warhammer, you've probably heard this term before, and that is the rule of cool. Now, the rule of cool does not apply as much to the meta chasing win at all costs types. That's not to say that they don't find any models or lore or whatever cool and more attractive, but that is to say, if your goal is to just always be at the bleeding edge of being competitive, that the moment an army is just not cooking it for you anymore, you just dump it and switch to a whole different army altogether, it's just not as helpful overall. But you know, at least to get started into the hobby, you're probably not going to be a win at all costs type anyways, you know, not meta chasing, because you're not really going to know what the meta is. So getting into the hobby, the rule of cool is probably the most important thing overall. And as the name suggests, it does what it says on the tin. You find what looks cool. You know, primarily aesthetically speaking, but, you know, you might read the lore a little bit or whatever else, and it's just, hey, this army's fucking cool. I like the way it looks. I like the things it says it does. I think I want to play this army. Now, that might even be just like you're just flat out full stop, boom, I found it, done. Only one army interests me, and that's what I'm going to run with. That's great, you know, but for many people, there might be like a handful of armies that you're like, okay, this one looks cool, that one looks cool. If you're a collector, it's probably the whole damn range of everything looks cool, but certain things look cooler than others. So that might be where you're going to gravitate towards, you know, kind of starting off with. It's probably the best way to get yourself started, namely because of the fact that if you find something cool looking and cool sounding, you're more likely to invest the time and money and stuff to both get the products and paint them and stuff and build them, as well as the time to actually learn how does my army work, you know, because most likely the first several many times that you play the game, you're going to suck at it, both in terms of how you actually play the game during gameplay, but also in terms of army composition. You're going to buy a bunch of stuff just because it looks good, and guess what? It's not going to go together very well, most likely, and you're going to lose a lot of games because your army composition is not the greatest. And guess what else? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, you know, once again, you're going to still probably find yourself more invested in it because you picked out the stuff you thought looked cool. It's going to be more interesting to you and more fun, regardless of whether you're winning or not. Now, eventually, you do want to actually start doing things successfully and winning and stuff, because for most people, constantly getting your ass handed to you will eventually just make you go, you know what, I don't think this game is for me. And you know, it's definitely a thing that might pop up for you, definitely that might. It's a very good chance that it'll pop up for you if you don't put in the time and effort to actually figure out how does my army work. Because every army's got its nuances. And the way that things are balanced and written and stuff, you know, one army may seem like it's just going to run away with victory after victory after victory. But if it's you, if you have a bad composition to it and you don't know what you're doing with it, you may find yourself not doing all that hot. But certain armies lend themselves to being more forgiving than others. You know, picking out your first army being some sort of glass cannon type thing, you know, like particularly like Drukhari and stuff, which they just had a new codex come out that I've not looked over in full yet, so I'm not really commenting directly on that book. Picking out a glass cannon army can be a difficult first go. But that's why the rule of cool is so important, though. Still, pick out what you think looks cool so that you have a vested interest in trying to get through the game. Which would bring me to the next step, though. Let's say you've got a handful to choose from, but you're not made of money, so you're not gonna have, you know, you're not gonna buy the whole range of all the things and so on and so forth. You know, once again, if you got a local community, check them out. Otherwise, a little bit of Google research. I know that sounds really simple, but a lot of people don't think about it. Will help too. Now, the website I would normally recommend for getting at least your feet wet a little bit, 1D4chan has been, for some reason, down for weeks now, and I have no idea if that's a permanent thing or when it will come back, if it will come back, etc. Now I'm not saying 1D4chan is necessarily the end all be all of the right answers for everything. But I found it to be at least a good way to get get your feet wet and understanding a little bit more. How does my army work with itself? And how does it interact with other armies? You know, you can get an idea of, all right, mine is a horde army, and these are the units that work the best in composition with each other, but they're not so great against these particular factions, and so on and so forth. The game is not a direct rock, paper, scissors format, but certain armies are better against other armies, for sure. And in some cases there are some armies that are really good against everybody with the right pilot behind them. But you're not going to become that pilot until you've actually learned how to do it over time. So, if you do find yourself, through your rule of cool, picking out an army that tends to be more difficult to get started with, you need to keep that open mindset that, hey, I know that I've picked an army that's not a great first army choice, but it's what I want to play. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I would highly recommend that over picking an army you have no interest in, but you just picked it because it's supposedly easier to play. That's definitely a no-no. I do recommend against that. Now, granted, that's what the whole meta chasing concept is, but, you know, once again, those people are people who are going to be playing for a long time, and they want to make sure that they are always being competitive in their local community, or even the wider community. But starting off the hobby with that mindset is probably not going to get you very super far. Now that we have 9th edition out, there is an important extra distinction here, and that's 9th edition armies versus 8th edition armies. Only a handful of armies have had 9th edition books be released. And what we've seen so far, these 9th edition books are very well fleshed out. They are filled to the brim with more goodies than you can even begin to fathom what the fuck you're going to do with all of them. There's just a lot to it. But they also tend to be a lot more powerful, or so I've found so far, that an army that's got a 9th book is going to perform a lot better against one that has an 8th book. Even if during 8th, that, you know, Army B, I guess we'll call them, would normally kick Army A's ass, now that Army A has a 9th edition book, it might not be so simple. It's not 100% a hard and fast rule, but yeah, keep in mind when you're picking out your army, if it does not have a 9th edition book yet, you're probably going to have a even larger uphill battle against those armies that do have 9th edition books out, which currently we have Codex Space Marine, Codex Necrons, Codex Death Guard, and Codex Drukhari. The Space Marines do have their supplementary books too, but you're just going to focus on primary books. Because on the flip side, you've also got the Book of Rust, the new Warzone book, that adds a whole new campaign and stuff, but it also gives you special rules to field like an Adeptus Mechanicus force focused specifically on Metallica, one of the Forge worlds. There's the Terminus Est Assault Force, which is a specific Death Guard formation. There's some specific formations for Imperial Knights and stuff. So, you know, we're not including any of that stuff here. We are talking about just the straight-up full-on codexes. Rumor has it that the Adeptus Mechanicus book will be sometime this month. We know it's coming out next, or should say we know it's coming out, but very likely is next. I actually did see while I was on my break, I saw some leaks as far as some of the new upgrade or updated data sheets for some of the AdMech models. And you go looking at those, where I'm already seeing that same pattern that we saw with the other 9th edition books that have already come out, is that they get a fuck ton more powerful compared to their 8th edition counterparts. So, you know, keep that in mind. If you're going to pick an 8th army or an army, all of them are going to have 9th books eventually. But if you're going to pick an army that currently only has an 8th book, you may be playing at a disadvantage. Am I saying don't pick one with 8th edition? Once again, no, I am not saying that. Far from it. Pick what sounds good to you. Pick the cool one, the one that gets you, you know, that really tickles your pickle. That's the one you want to start with. I do recommend doing a little research before you buy up anything to figure out where, you know, whether or not that army is really going to work for you. The main reason being is while the rule of cool is the number one rule, you know, at the same time, that goes back to that whole player archetype factor. You have to look at yourself and say, what kind of game do I want? How am I going to interact with this game? Do I just want what looks good to me and that's it? I don't really care if I win or not. You know, I'll play some Beer Hammer, and if I lose, whatever. I had a good time, you know, and I played the army I wanted to. Great, cool, go for it. But if you do want to be, good Lord, if you do want to be a little more competitive, really hold your own and stuff, and you know you're picking on an army that's going to be too much for you to learn and stuff up front, then, yeah, you may tell yourself, you know what, no, I do need to go a different direction here because I don't know what I'm doing, but I want to win games. I know that much. I want to win. Then, you'll take that rule of cool and basically cross-reference it against what armies are capable of what. A little bit of research goes a long way before you actually bite the bullet and spend some money. Now, let's say you've figured out where you want to, what army you want to start with, etc. Where do you start actually building your army? Now, depending on which army you've picked will kind of affect your options here. If you are doing either Space Marines or Necrons, there are a lot of different starter boxes. You can sometimes even find copies of Indomitus laying around. These are good ways to start. Although a lot of these box sets come with two separate armies. You may only be interested in one half of the box. So there are a lot of people selling Necron and Space Marine starter sets on all sorts of buy-sell groups and eBay and so on and so forth. They are selling them separately from the other half of the box. Namely because, these are people who bought these starter boxes that only wanted the Space Marines or only wanted the Necrons. They're selling the other half. In turn, you can find a lot of this stuff really cheap, especially versus buying them out piecemeal. Which brings me to the next point, too. If you are building an army that is not part of a starter box and stuff, well, now what the fuck are you going to do? There are several options. There's a lot of armies have what's called a start collecting set. There's newer releases are replacing the start collecting sets with what they call a combat patrol set instead. These do not tend to be the, greatest composition wise. They may not necessarily fit your long-term goals the best. But they do tend to be a much cheaper way to get a lot of models. In many cases, you might as well, even if you're like, oh, it's got this, 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 and that, but it's got this thing that I don't even give a shit about. Compare the price of the box set as a whole versus if you bought all that stuff separately. Even if you're not going to use something, you might be getting some freebies anyways in the deal. Quite regularly, actually, they do that sort of pricing. It's not a bad choice either. If you are getting an army that does not come in a starter kit, you can either A, keep using the core rules that are free on the app, or B, you can buy the rule book separately. I do recommend having the full-fledged rule book because there's a lot more to the game than what's in the core rules, so that you can get the full experience more readily and easily. You also need to make sure you have your army's codex. Now, if you are playing anything that does not have an 8th edition book out yet, you do not need the book. If you download the 40K app, you can create a free account and you can get free access to all the rules for any 8th edition armies. If you are playing a 9th edition army, you do not get that. You get some basic stuff, some basic stat lines and whatnot, but for free through the app for 9th edition books. But for the most part, you'll need the book for sure to get anywhere near the most value out of your army that you're building. So that is a definite yes that you want to do as close to upfront as possible. If money is tight and a concern, I understand you want to play some games, you want to get some cool models and start building them, fine. Do those first, but please get your codex ASAP. If you are playing 8th edition, I would recommend against buying your codex, though, because at some point in the not-too-distant future, it will be updated, making your old book obsolete, and right now you can get access to all the old book stuff through the app anyways. Yeah. And then once you've gone ahead and, you know, you've picked out your army, you've built some stuff, maybe you've painted it, maybe you haven't. Everybody's got different thoughts on that whole process, on whether painting's actually that as important, if not more important than playing the game, or vice versa. You know, but once you've got some stuff built, you have a basic understanding of some core rules, you know, or have the, you know, full on rule book. You've got your codex if it's a 9th edition army, or the app if it's an 8th edition army. You are ready to play. You're ready to at least get started. The most important things to keep in mind is if you are playing against somebody else who's already an established player, try to, you know, when you, you know, you can make a post on the your local gaming group saying, hey, I'm new to this. I just got this army. I'd like to play with somebody and have them, you know, teach me how to play the game. You know, make that obvious and upfront that you are new to this and you want to learn how to play it. If you don't, if you just say, hey, anybody want to play a game, you may end up with being completely out of your element, not just getting your whole fucking world raffle stomped by a very advanced opponent, but more to the point of neither you nor your opponent's going to have much fun with it, because they're going to, you know, be frustrated dealing with somebody who doesn't understand how the game works, and you're going to be frustrated getting absolutely demolished, or just, you know, being completely clueless as to how anything does function. So, you know, and that's not to say that new players are bad for their community because they don't know what they're doing. Quite the opposite. But new players who just dive in without warning anybody that they're new, and vice versa, players trying to demo stuff for old, or for, you know, old players trying to demo stuff for new players, without giving that new player a warning that, hey, I'm going to come at you as if you're a veteran and stuff, it's going to just go badly for everybody involved. And I have witnessed that. And I will say also, too, actually, as a new gamer, beware. You may, believe it or not, there are people out there who will take advantage of the fact that you're new and don't know what you're doing just so they can win a fucking game. Is it cheating? No. But it's just kind of weird, if anything. It's like, you don't have anything to gain. You know, it's not like there's money, like it's a gambling thing that whoever wins walks away with money. I mean, if you're at a tournament, that's a little different, but if you're at a tournament, you're probably not new to this, you know? But yeah, some people do. I've experienced that personally myself, many years ago playing 7th or 8th edition Warhammer Fantasy, one of the two, played against a guy using my Skaven against his Bretonians, and I did that several times over a couple weeks' time, and I just kept getting absolutely demolished. And I'm not saying that I was great at the game and stuff, so it didn't make sense. No, I was, you know, still fairly new to that particular, to Warhammer Fantasy specifically. And then the newer edition and so on and so forth. But yeah, it was after the last time I played with the same opponent several times in a row. And after the last time I played with him, after the game got over, he left and I had one of the other guys in the shop come over to me and being like, hey, you know, I just wanted to let you know that, I've been watching you guys play for the past couple weeks and I just couldn't sit back anymore, but this guy's been cheating. I was like, well, wait, what? What do you mean? And he explained to me that there's very clearly, because he was familiar with this guy as far as he's played against him, and this guy knew his rules well enough that he had been just taking advantage of the fact that I didn't know the rules well enough. So he would make, I remember at one point he one-shotted my Doom Wheel, in a situation where it totally should have not been one-shotted, just because I didn't understand how the blast worked on his catapult and stuff like that. It definitely creates, you know, some feel-badsies moments when you're getting yourself destroyed, and then it makes it worse when you find out afterwards that this dude just cheated. And it's like, why? What did he have to gain? You know, we weren't betting any money. We weren't, there wasn't even bragging rights involved necessarily. It was just a random, you know, playing of the game and just total random meetup. He wins and that's it. You know, why he did it, I don't know. He probably got some sort of weird thrill out of winning no matter how he won. And some people do go out of their way to cheat because there are things to be gained, and that's not a good thing either at all. I'm not excusing it if you have a reason, but it's really fucking weird if your only reason is, well, this guy doesn't know what he's doing, so I guess I can just win. It doesn't make sense to me. And I've seen other situations, too, where someone has made it clear, I am new to a game. And, you know, so I'm looking for people to help me learn this, you know, show me the ropes. And they find somebody who's like, yeah, no, totally get it. You're new to this. I'm totally here to help you. And then they sit down to play the game and their opponent has brought just some fully tweaked out list that's just designed for the ultimate tournament win. And turn one, wipe the table, and that's it. The game's over. And it's like, well, what the fuck did you gain from that? You knew full well that this person was new to the game. They made it clear that they were looking for somebody to just show them how the game works and stuff. And you just took advantage of it. What made it worse in this situation specifically is that the person said, I totally get that you're new to this and I definitely want to help you learn. But it's like, what did you help them learn? Did you help them learn how to deal with getting tabled on turn one? You know, was that your goal? That doesn't make sense either, you know? Like, unless somebody said, hey, I'm pretty new to this, but I'm getting used to it. I'd really like to play, like, a really competitive game against somebody. You know, because some people want a challenge. Or they feel like they're going to learn more if they are up against a far more superior opponent. But this was not the case here. So it was just a weird and unfair situation overall. Do be careful. You want to make it clear that you're trying to get a demo, but do be aware that some people might try to screw you over. And that's not good, but what's important is that you take every loss in stride and that you just roll with it. That's not to say I'm always not a sore loser. But usually I pull myself together afterwards and go, yeah, that was my fault. I fucked up here, there, and everywhere. You know, tactical review, I debrief with myself basically afterwards. So, but, so this, once again, this is a very ground level sort of thing. We're not going in depth on, you know, this faction does this and this faction does that or anything. We're just going from the ground level of, how the fuck do you even get started into this hobby? So, I may take some time in future episodes to actually dive a little deeper into individual factions as far as starting with those factions or whatever else. But as far as just the basic ground level explanation of how the fuck do I even break into this hobby, there it is. Rule of cool. Find an army you want to play. Find some people to demo it with, in particular. Which, as a note, if there is nobody locally, for some reason, you are the only one. I mentioned earlier the uphill battle factor. That's exactly it. You're going to want to become intimately familiar with the rules yourself so that you can be the guy who starts the community and gets people involved. And that's not going to happen if you have no idea at all what you're doing either. It's going to be way, way, way next to impossible at that point. So, but I think we're going to call it a call at this point. As always, thank you guys for listening. You know, follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/theRegimentalVoxPodcast. Follow me on Twitter @RegimentalVox. And as I mentioned earlier, this episode, previous episode, please go check out Forge and Fire Gaming. Great deals, and honest salesmanship. Even if you do end up having to spend a little bit extra, like I said, because you want something rare, he's going to be a hell of a lot more honest about his pricing, and trying to get you the best deal for you to get what you want while he still makes a profit. So, but Thank you guys for listening. I'll catch you all in the next episode. This is Caleb Meyer signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week, everyone.